In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We come to the second third of Jesus' famous Bread of Life discourse. In the first third, we heard and saw God as giver of everything that we need for life. And of course, his highest gift that he gave is his word, his Torah, through his servant Moses. Well, so also was his word given through Jesus. Similarly, as he gave quail and manna to his people of old in the Exodus through Moses, so now he gave bread and fish to the more than 5,000 who were following Jesus through a desolate place. Of course, the important difference is between Moses and Jesus, that Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the bread of God. And not in just any metaphorical sense, but in reality, in the flesh, both feet firmly planted on the ground. How do we say? The incarnate Word. After years of wondering, I promise it's true, I'm glad to say that I have finally sided with the early church fathers, Luther, and those to this day who, if you will, in, with, and under these words, identify Eucharistic meaning to them. When Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh," he spoke not only of faith in him and his words, but also of a real eating with the mouth, as real as the loaves and the fish they had just feasted on, as real as the lamb eaten at the annual Passover Seder every year, as real as the sacrifice of his flesh on the cross for the life of the world. Like the people following Moses, we read in the wilderness, this crowd also murmured. Well, no wonder, because they could not understand the depth of Jesus' words. And in John's Gospel, we get the depth of Jesus' words. In fact, next Sunday, we will hear the sad result of their murmuring as finally many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. And I wonder if this is the same sort of murmuring we hear today, who think that the sacrament of Holy Communion, for instance, actually gets in the way of the growth of the church, especially because of that ancient restriction of closed communion, to which many take offense and complain that we're not being loving. They don't know why it is. We begin this Sunday, therefore, by hearing the last words we heard last Sunday. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This, of course, is the theme of the entire chapter. Jesus is the bread of God, even as he is the Lamb of God, and that this calls to mind the Passover, the slaughter of the Paschal Lamb, and the meal at which the bread Jesus will declare is his body. Jesus is the gift of God. But whereas the gift of the feeding of the 5,000 happened only once, and as St. Paul says, the death he died to sin, he died to sin once for all, there's no more dying, no more sacrifice. Jesus fulfilled it. In the sacrament here, that forgiveness, life, and salvation that results from his one-time offering is given to all, continually, evermore. Listen to the reality in which the Church Father Cyril speaks when he says, "The holy body of Christ then gives life to those whom it enters and preserves them to incorruptibility when it is mixed with our bodies." It is because of the life Jesus restores and gives to you now that, as he says over and over, he will raise us up on the last day. For this reason, we ought to believe that we are here receiving not only God's own pledge and promise, but God's own power for our resurrection from the dead and the life of the world to come. The increasing grumbling disbelief of the crowd recalls St. John's prediction in the very first chapter of his gospel, where he wrote, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. They said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven?'" And this is the scandal of faith with which all must struggle. No, he is not properly the son of Joseph. And that's the point. He is the Son of God through the miracle of his incarnation, of his mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And one needs the miracle of faith in God's word to believe that truth. "I came down from heaven." Now, Jesus doesn't engage their unbelief at all, but rather exposes it as a false and even irrelevant way of thinking about him. And how many false and irrelevant ideas about Jesus are thrown around today? And that includes the false claims of not only many television preachers and also authors of myriads of religious books, and even of our neighbor next door. Not our logic, but only the Word of God, the revelation of the Bible, is to form our faith. And this is especially important for a right faith in Jesus. The word is orthodox, or right teaching. It is equally important for a right faith in the sacrament of his body and blood. So, finally, as Jesus repeats his claim, "I am the bread of life," he introduces in our text the idea of eating, saying, "This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die." No eating, no life. "If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever." And how is that? "The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." And this is what got me hung up for all of those years. Because many here have dismissed the connection with the sacrament because there he speaks of his body. Here he speaks of his flesh. To which question ought to be asked, is there really any difference? Controversy over the sacrament of the altar has overshadowed or distracted many, at least since the Reformation. Does the bread and wine cease to exist? Are they only symbolically the body and blood of Christ? Are they both? Next Sunday, we'll hear how that controversy began already, as soon as our Lord originally spoke those words. The question for faith will be asked of us. As we prayed at the institution of our Lord's body and blood in the sacrament on Maundy Thursday, grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.